May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So on many of our journeys through life, there comes a point where we must make a choice between two different paths. There's no compromise, no way to split the difference. There are two roads laid out before us, one here and one there, and we have to decide which one we're going to follow. I'm talking, of course, about the difficult choice between following common sense, the evidence of what you can see with your eyes, and following your GPS. Now, I drive a remarkably reliable 11-year-old car, which came with a wonderful satellite navigation system. And it's wonderful because it shows the turn-by-turn directions up on the dashboard so that I don't have to look down at a phone, and I don't have to listen to it try to pronounce what it calls Storo Doctor just down the road. But it's the kind of early 2010s device where if you want updated maps, they don't come from the internet. They come from you sending away for a USB drive to plug in to the car that will download or whatever the new maps. And I have to admit, I've never done it in the 10 years I've had the car. And so there are certain parts of certain routes where, a decade later, the GPS is just wrong. Sometimes this happens where I know exactly what I'm going, but I have the GPS on for some reason or another, usually to tell me how many more minutes of motion sickness I'm going to experience from the back. Like when I'm driving through Somerville and the directions tell me to turn or enter a rotary that simply no longer exists. That I can handle. But it more often happens on some highway somewhere out of state, where the entry and the exit ramps have moved around, and there's a big green sign telling me to exit right here, and there's a little electronic one desperately screaming that I should go for another half a mile and then get off. And I have to choose. Do I exit here where the big green sign says, or do I go half a mile and then try to move from I-91 to 95 by sailing through the sky? Which is not the worst driving I've ever seen in New Haven. But anyway, at those moments you face a choice between two different sources of authority, and you have to ask, which one am I going to trust? The GPS or my lying eyes? And in a way, that decision, who am I going to trust, which authority am I going to follow, is exactly what we find in every one of these readings this morning. It's that first reading, after all, that tells the story of the choice that Joshua offers to the Israelites after they finally entered into the Promised Land. The people have crossed over the Red Sea on their way out of slavery in Egypt following Moses. They've wandered in the desert for 40 years, complaining mostly at God. Moses has seen the Promised Land from high up on the mountain, and now Joshua has brought them in, and they've battled with the people of the land. And years later, after a long time of peace, Joshua's life is drawing to an end. And he gathers all the leaders of all the people before him. And he gives them this speech. Remember the stories of your ancestors, the road behind you, he says. Remember Terah and Abraham and Nahor, who lived beyond the river and served other gods. And remember their descendants, your parents and grandparents, who lived in Egypt and served Egyptian gods. Remember the gods your ancestors served, and remember how that went for them. And then remember the story of the last few years. Remember the story of what the God we now serve has done, what God has done for you. Remember how he brought your parents up out of slavery. Remember how he protected them through those long years in the wilderness. Remember how he led you even now into this promised land. And Joshua offers a choice between two ways. You can choose the gods your ancestors served beyond the river in one direction or another. You can follow their traditions and practice their rites. Or you can choose the God who brought you out of Egypt and set you free. But one way or another, you must choose this day whom you will serve. More than 1,000 years later, another Joshua arose, another leader among the people of that land, And I say another Joshua because while we tend to call him what the Greeks and Romans called him in their languages with no SH sound and where men's names ended in S, Joshua is his name. In other words, Yeshu is Joshua in one pronunciation and Jesus in the other, but it's the same name. And there are a lot of ways in which Jesus and Joshua are alike. And like that ancient Joshua, this new one, this Jesus, offers the people around him a choice. Implicitly this time, but a choice all the same. He doesn't ask them to choose between one God and another. Jesus and almost all of his audience follow the same God, that same one God who brought their ancestors out of Egypt. Their choice is something different in our reading this morning. Their choice is whether they can accept the strange teachings of this man, the almost grotesque idea that they should eat his flesh and drink his blood, which I talked about at some length last week. This teaching is difficult, his disciples say when he tells them this. Who can accept it? And that sentence is a little strange, actually, for John or for any of the Gospels. Here it's not the Jews, whom John often writes about, or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, who criticize Jesus' teaching. It's his disciples, the people who have already chosen to follow him, the ones who are a part of this movement around Jesus, the ones who want to learn what he has to teach. He teaches something strange and hard, and the disciples complain. But Jesus doesn't give in and change his teaching, he doubles down. And because of this, many of his disciples turned away. But a remnant remains. This core group of 12 and maybe a few more, the ones who will come to call apostles. And you might notice in the gospel, they don't stay because they think this teaching is easy to believe. They're not the ones who say, "Oh, good, I've been waiting to eat your flesh." They stay because they believe in him. They trust him. It's not about the content of what he says, it's about who he is. And so Peter answers on their behalf, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." They've made the choice, in other words, not that the directions he's giving them make sense, but that the one giving the directions is probably right. They've made the choice to trust Jesus and accept the difficult thing that he teaches because of who he is, not because of what he says. They've decided that however strange some of what he says may seem, he is, and I truly am sorry for the pun that's about to happen. He is, to paraphrase what Jesus himself says elsewhere in the Gospel of John, not only the truth and the life, but the ways. He has the directions. And yes, I am a dad. So the disciples choose to follow Jesus. And they choose again to stay the course, to continue following him when things are hard. But it's not until much later that the disciples begin to feel a sense of what Paul in that letter to the Ephesians calls boldness. It's not until much later that their faith transforms from something that they can accept because of who he is to something that gives them strength. A shield and a helmet, an armor that protects them from all the evil forces of the world. Boldness, in this way, is one of Paul's favorite words. And you can often hear it when he talks about his own story, his own suffering on behalf of the gospel. It would have been a much easier life for the poor guy if he had just gone along with the flow. And yet he feels this incredible boldness to proclaim the good news that he's heard, despite it all. To stand for what's good in a world often beset by evil, and to remain not only confident in, but comforted by, what he knows to be true, even when the people around him are shocked. You might see a kind of growth in these stories, from decision to faithfulness to boldness. You can imagine this as a kind of typical trajectory in spiritual life. The story of your faith might have a beginning, when you make a decision to follow, a decision to choose which God to serve. When you choose who gets to be your judge, what values will shape your life? when you choose which way to go. And the story might have a middle in which that faith is tested in different ways, in which the road becomes difficult, you're not so sure that decision was right, something unexpected happens, and you wish you'd gone the other way after all. And then later, the story might end with a kind of boldness, a kind of comfort and confidence in that decision, a trust and a belief that you've been headed the right way all along, a comfort that the destination you've been promised is finally in sight. And yet the stories of our lives are rarely as simple as 1, 2, 3, decision, faithfulness, boldness. In reality, these aren't three phases of a story that come packaged, beginning, middle, and end. They're almost different modes or patterns that we cycle through again and again and again with almost every decision in life. It sometimes seems that every week or every month or every year, we have to choose to commit ourselves again and again to the people we love or the things that we believe. And it can become sometimes a burden to commit ourselves again and again and again to those things. But in that cycle, in that repetition, I see something of a gift. Because the fact that we need to choose again and again and again to follow that right path, that we need to choose again and again and again to do that right thing, also means that we get to choose again and again and again. We're given 1,000 chances in our lives to follow Jesus' way of love. And when we choose the wrong path, it seems, it's never too late to get off at the next exit and take a U-turn. At the very worst, it's just a little inconvenient. So there's an incredible gift in this choice that we face. And there's a kind of freedom, too, because ultimately, what Jesus tells the disciples here is not that you need to know the answers in your life, that you need to know the right choice in any decision or the right path to follow. All you need to do is to trust that by trying to follow a loving God, you will somehow find the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.